B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Yeah, you know, being a big part of the marketing and the production and designing a live show, a lot of the buck stops with me.
That's lead singer and the brains behind Starset, Dustin Bates, who's my guest today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. They have a new record dropping on September 13th, and he talks all about it with me today.
I try to write the songs so that they have parallel metaphors. I think most people can listen to these songs not caring at all about sci-fi and find meaning in them.
The new album's called Divisions. You can check out some of the videos for some of the songs already online, like one called Manifest. We talk about the pressures of putting out new music, of course, putting the show together for Starset, and working with other bands, including Saint Asonia and lead singer Adam Gontier.
It's awesome. He's such a great guy.
He does a pretty spot-on impersonation of a Beatle. Plus, the latest gadgets he loves and more today with Starset frontman Dustin Bates on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, a big thank you for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. I do appreciate it. Getting ready for this long Labor Day weekend. Thought I'd give you a good one here with a Starset frontman, Dustin Bates. If you don't know anything about this band, still listen up on the episode because Dustin, A, is a great interview. B, he's probably one of the smartest people I'll interview. And C, he does a great Beatle impersonation. Can you do a Beatle impersonation?
No. Certainly not anything that I would try on the podcast.
I've talked to him about this before, but he's got some sort of, PhD and some sort of engineering. And I mean, this guy is like a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
And he talks about it in the interview here about them, you know, on tour and stuff, where it was a lot of DIY stuff in the past, and now they got like a crew and different things. And you know, for these guys to really put on a show, I mean, we do talk about that. It's not just, they just don't throw things together and throw it up there. So it's a pretty cool interview, and Dustin's a really interesting guy to talk with. And you know, listen, I've had some emails recently where people want me to interview certain artists and stuff, and I said no, because they're just not good interviews. I've interviewed them before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just don't give you anything, and I'm like, no, I'd rather talk to a guy like this,
yeah,
where maybe he's not as popular as some of these other guys, but you know what? He's fun to talk to, and those other ones will remain unnamed.
Yeah. agreed. I haven't done as many interviews as you, certainly, but some of the most fun interviews are the smaller bands. You know, they're a little more humble sometimes. I mean, you meet some really big guys that are really cool, too. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes those little bands give you the best and have the most fun interviews.
Yeah, no, Dustin's just a really, like I said, interesting, yeah, intense and smart guy and very focused and knows exactly, yeah, what he wants.
I might actually listen to this episode.
Well, you know, being that you're a Trekkie, this might be right up your alleyway.
That's what you were kind of saying to me off mic, that it's like Audible Star Trek.
It's very sci-fi.
Yeah.
He doesn't really call it sci-fi. We get into that coming up as well, and what he kind of calls his band. But if you're definitely, it's like Space Oddity, like I brought that up too. So is that what it is?
Space Odyssey.
Yeah, there you go. So anyways, that voice over there is Al Beck. He's got your rock news coming up after Dustin. Of course, a big day in the rock world with a Tool releasing not only their record, but some tour dates. We'll talk about that. This Fyre Festival thing is just ridiculous. You've seen that documentary.
I haven't watched the documentary.
What, dude,
but
where have you been? I mean, really, you haven't watched Bohemian Rhapsody, right?
Well, I've been watching the Bob Newhart show on Hulu.
I guess, yeah.
I'm not even lying.
Really? I like the Bob Newhart show. Is it the one where he's in Vermont?
This is when he's the psychiatrist.
Okay, it's not the one with Larry and Daryl and his other brother Daryl.
No,
oh, see,
no.
That's the better one.
That one's just Newhart, I think.
All right, there you go. Wow,
I love Bob Newhart.
Why do I even have you on to talk about this stupid nonsense? Dave Grohl, of course, is in the news every week. We'll talk about him.
Yeah, it's really, we can always rely on him.
Yeah, Pink Floyd has something cool coming out, and Disturbed just released this video. And I don't know, maybe we won't have to go to concerts anymore.
Maybe not. I guess.
So, anyways, Dustin, as you would expect, called right on time, and let's get right into it. It's Dustin Bates from Starset today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, man, how's things?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Just getting ready to talk to you. I was on vacation last week, so they pushed us back a little bit, but that's cool. Gives me more of a chance to check out some of the new stuff here. Divisions comes out on September 13th, and tell us about this record.
Yeah, excited about it. It's our third record. I actually produced this one. Rob Graves did the first two. I wanted the challenge of kind of, I had a sound in mind, and I thought I could achieve it. And so I did it myself. I built a studio in my place and recorded drums in L.A. and various other places. And, all of our records incorporate cinematics and electronics and hard rock. But this one does it in a new and fresh way for us. So it's exciting.
Okay. So explain the new and fresh way. Cause I mean, I watch your stuff and of course it's like, I think sometimes that some of these songs are written specifically for like a trailer type effect. Is that true or no?
Well, the style is always the band. We call it cinematic, and that's in the music, in the marketing, and in the video. Everything is sort of parallel to, I guess, what you would see in blockbuster movies. That's our goal, and the incorporation of orchestration into the music definitely gives it that movie vibe. But every record we do it in a different way, so it has a little different sound to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just thinking. I mean, what do you consider your band like? What kind of genre is there? Can you define your band?
Yeah. Well, you know, it depends. If you listen to hard rock, I think you're going to notice it as being a version of hard rock for sure.
For sure, yeah.
But with modern leaning elements. There are a lot of bands that I guess would sound like modernized versions of 70s, 80s, and 90s bands right now. And we're sort of trying to look the other way. We're looking to the future, and we love incorporating the electronics, and that helps generate that sound and the style of guitaring. On this record, used a lot of gent guitar, style guitar, not crazy prog gent, but just in the rhythms, it's just heavier and chuggy, and you know, we call it cinematic rock, for lack of a better term.
I was thinking sci-fi rock. It's like there seems to be a real lack of sci-fi rock bands out there right now.
yeah. It definitely has our narrative is sci-fi based for sure. But in terms of music, that doesn't really nail down a style,
right?
Does it? That certainly qualifies.
Now, I was listening to David Bowie's Diamond Dogs today as I was preparing to talk to you, and I don't know, is there somewhat of a correlation between the 70s David Bowie and what you guys do today, 40 years later?
I guess inadvertently, in terms of how he experimented and just went for things, not worrying about how they would be perceived by the industry. But outside of that, I've never been a huge fan. I'm a fan, but not. I've never been really inspired by him, and especially not stylistically. I've drawn none of the inspiration from him. But yeah, in terms of him being one of the first to just sort of go out there.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking about some of the sci-fi stuff that he dealt with as well, and some of the songs he wrote.
Yeah, I'm more inspired by movies.
Is that right? So, what movies inspire you?
I had tons. I once had to answer out of necessity. I answered this question. I divided sci-fi movies into five categories to help myself even answer that question. So, I mean, I even leave off the class. Star Wars. Everybody loves Star Wars. I absolutely love Star Wars, but I never even mention it because it's such an obvious
too
one,
obvious.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, so sci-fi horror, I mean, you got to give it to, I give it to Event Horizon. Most people give it to Alien. Cerebral sci-fi, that's Moon for me, with a second place for Contact. Blockbuster sci-fi would be Oblivion with a close, there's numerous second places for that one. So obviously I've thought about this way too much. In terms of sci-fi books, I also love those, like Dune. I'm not a huge fan of the movie, but I love the book. And it goes on and on and on. I'm definitely, but I'm always out sci-fied by people. There are other people that are even more into it than me, and then I just look like a chump.
Do you ever go to like some of these comic cons or sci-fi conventions or something dressed in your stage gear?
Definitely not. Actually, well, no, that's a lie, because sometimes we're actually, you know, set up to go. We've done Marvel signings at comic cons, and as it was, you know, I have been wearing a version of the live stuff at those. Those are always fun. Always trying to do more of that and more collaboration with Marvel. Hopefully, on this new record has a new novel associated with it, and so hopefully there's more collaboration like that.
Yeah, you start talking about the movies, and all I can think of is what's, you know, Shut the Pod Bay Door, Hale. What movie was that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's 2001.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's so good. We actually call our main piece of gear that lives off stage, it actually used to live on stage, that has all of our main electronics, we call it HAL.
Yeah, HAL, there you go. Yeah, that's cool. So Brief History of the Future starts off the record. Then you got Manifesto and Echo and Solstice, Fault Line, Stratosphere, Telekinetic. I mean, it's all stuff that's within the realm of what you guys do, I suppose.
Yeah, and then when you... I try to write the songs so that they have parallel metaphors. I think most people can listen to these songs not caring at all about sci-fi and find meaning in them. You know, we're not a concept band in that way where the lyrics are super nerdy. I use space and science metaphors, but not in a, I call it in a Rush way. The band Rush would, you know, they were very on the nose whenever they went sci-fi, for instance. You can relate to them like you could most other songs. And they just have a, it's just the way the metaphors are used.
Now, did you grow up in Columbus or just go to school there?
I actually went to school in Athens at Ohio University, and I grew up in Youngstown, Ohio.
Okay, so you're a Midwestern kid, yeah. So did Rush play a role in your musical upbringing?
Nope, not at all. Actually, it's another one that wasn't massively into. Of course, I was aware of them. We had a radio station called The Wolf, and I think they played Rush every other song. So maybe inadvertently.
I got you. So tell me about the pressures of putting out this third record. What do you want the fans to take away from this? Are you a little nervous? How does this work when it comes out next week?
Yeah, you know, being a big part of the marketing and the production and designing a live show, a lot of the buck stops with me, so I can't look to anybody else with any blame. So it's a fun challenge, and I can't wait to unveil it and see what people think. It's also another challenge changing the style subtly. If you look at Manifest, for instance, I think it rocks, and it has a place for it in on the radio, but at the same time it definitely blends genres to a point where it might challenge people, so, and the record is no different, so it's exciting to see how that works.
Now, in that song, you brought in Luke Holland for the drums, is that right? He's like this internet YouTube drummer guy, is that right?
Yeah, he actually did the entire record.
He did the whole thing, okay.
So the records are more like a lab experiment than a sort of a band. I think a lot of times people just visualize like the Beatles just in a room like jamming, like, what do you think about that then? and it's the literal opposite for me. It's like a lab for me, and I devise the songs, and I collaborate with certain people, and then when it comes to playing the songs after writing them, playing them in the studio, I always have various people come and play on them. And Luke is amazing and has the exact styling and pocket for what I was trying to blend, which is a certain type of metal and djent and progressive style drumming, but also has a pop pocket for the Pop-Tarts, and it worked out so well. He's incredible.
Now, you've mentioned this word a couple of times, gent, and I got to be honest, I'm not really sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, D-J-E-N-T, and we don't use it to the fullest extent of it. It's a more modern style of it's a type of guitar playing. There's a certain rhythm and cadence to it. It's very modern, and so you're not going to hear it with all these the bands that sound like recreations of the 80s, 90s, and 70s.
Right,
that they're out everywhere. You're not going to hear anything like that. But there are a lot. There are tons of new bands that do that and do it to a much more complex level than we even do. But I like to take styles and again, even though we're sort of sci-fi and some people are potentially turned off by that, I actually love to make the songs approachable and digestible by just about everybody.
Now, have you guys had any of your songs appear in soundtracks or in movies?
No, unfortunately not. It would be incredible. Now, soundtracks to games, yes. Like I think one of the more recent ones was the Forza driving game. And we were even like the live band in that. It's kind of crazy. But movie-wise, nothing. And kind of depressing. Don't make that happen.
So this is a shout out to anyone that wants to put you in a movie. There you go. Hey, you talked about the show and stuff. So I know the show is like complex and that. Are you guys working on it right now? I mean, obviously you got to be rehearsing and stuff, right? I mean, are you guys ready to take this on the road?
Yeah, we're rehearsing and working on it at the moment. I'm working on the live footage for the big video wall we're bringing out, and I believe our violinist gets in today. We've been rehearsing, but the string players are on their way, and we're working. I sort of have my hands on all aspects of the production. It's a different production than the past tours. It's bigger and cooler, while also being more streamlined, and there's new wardrobe as well that ties into the new narrative.
Now, with your guys' band, like, you know, you guys obviously aren't like Sammy Hagar, where, you know, a girl throws her panties up on stage, he can stop everything. Like, you guys are pretty much choreographed, right? I'm assuming with the lights and the production and everything that's going on. So you guys have your certain fit, right?
Yeah. We're there's no aversion to panties. Feel
That's
free.
Right.
But yeah, everything. So our computers run. We play to a click because there's six of us and it's very tight. So there's a metronome, and then the video walls run off that metronome, and much of the production, like fog, haze, atmosphere, lights, spacesuits, that all runs off of that same timer, that same click. And so, yeah, it all runs together. If in the past we've had some issues with that because it was all DIY and was computationally complex, we had some issues and randomly, you know, a couple times a tour, and people would think, you know, get the wrong impression that we can't play without it. It's just that the actual show itself does sync up with us in that way, so we have to get it fixed. But recently, we've really worked on our reliability, and the stuff is like just super streamlined. But we do have a backup now. Now, if that ever happens again, we're going to bust out all the acoustic stuff and just put on a show that way. So it's very funny that, you know, we're very high tech and we can't really do our show without a computer, but at the same time we can do a show with literally no technology. So
that's
we're
right
not doing that.
How do you do the gent guitars then, right? I don't know, just have to figure it out.
Yeah, it's a little different. Yeah, the guitar work definitely changes.
Yeah, one of my friends in a band, he actually, I'm not going to say which band it is, but he actually runs the lights from on stage to a click track, and everyone has in their ears, and everything has to, you know, run according to plan. And I'm assuming you guys are that to the nth degree, though.
Yeah, it's absolutely that, and that's why for the actual star set demonstration itself, the computer has to be working, which has been our demise only a couple times. one in particular, we had an issue in Denver where we didn't know at the time, and we've since figured it out. The computer will overheat, and then the click track will start screwing up, and then all hell breaks loose. And we since have added a water-cooled system to the computer and have never had a problem since.
I was going to say, you guys must have Spinal Tap moments that rival anyone's.
Oh, yeah. Never any pods not opening, but yeah. And it's always a challenge because, especially in the past, again, DIY and hands-on, it's very stressful for me to be doing this show and then also be the one that can fix it. But we now have a crew that understands it, and I've made this, like I said, I've made it so much more reliable, and it's also not stressful to have this fun backup. I think most of our big time fans would love if this system ever broke again and we did an entire intimate acoustic show.
That's great. Well, a couple more things here and we'll let you blast. I know that you did some work with the St. Asonia guys, right?
Yeah. Yes. We wrote a couple songs with Adam.
Yeah. How'd that go?
It's awesome. He's such a great guy. I met him in Minneapolis. He came to a show, and I found out that, you know, he's a fan of Starset, and he's such a kind dude. It's awesome. And we became friends, and when he started working on the St. Estonia record, he hit me up, and we came up with a couple things that I think have worked out pretty well for that record. I actually recently heard the recordings, and they're so good. They did such a good job.
And that's going to be on their record that's coming out here, I think, before the end of the year, right?
Yeah. I think it comes out very similar time frame to Divisions.
Okay. All right. Well, yours comes out, by the way, September 13th. But, yeah, of course, Adam's a nice guy. He's from Canada. They're all nice guys up there, you know.
Totally.
Hey, while I was waiting for you to call, I was checking in at my house, and I can see where, like, my kids are, my wife, and even some of my in-laws and different things on my phone. What's the latest cool gadget that you just really like?
I've recently made my house out of, I got some really weird mail from people, and I realized that some people knew my address. So then I got this security system, and which is whatever, but I've had fun getting the little add-ons for the security system, like the electronic lock and the thermostat. I'm always messing with that thermostat. It's amazing, because if you go on tour, you can be in China and be like, oh, crap, I didn't turn off the AC, and you can just do it from China, which is pretty sweet. That's not super high-tech, I wouldn't say. In terms of high-tech, we've been messing with augmented reality a lot. We are releasing an augmented reality app, the band is, and so there'll be extra experiences at the show via this app, and if you pass your phone over certain targets, you'll get experiences, augmented experiences within your phone. So that's been fun to work on. We've been working on that for a year and a half. We also embedded a chip within our old Vessels 2.0. We put a chip in there last September that we didn't tell anybody about, and then very recently, last week, we said, hey, put your phone over your, you know, Vessels 2.0. And when you did that, boom, it took you to a website that gave you more information for unlocking a song. So we love using tech in that way.
Dude, that's the kind of stuff I was getting at. I'm like, you got to have something cool. I mean, anybody can open their garage door from China, but you guys are doing stuff that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say it's funny that, you know, we're doing super, super high tech stuff for the band. It's a lot of fun, but me personally, I still enjoy the regular hash craft that everybody else does.
That's cool. You know, I was talking to a Mike from Incubus, and he's working on this thing where I guess it's already out there, where you have your phone and you download this app, and you can hear the bands in their in-ears. You can hear each guy's in-ears piece, you know, with your when you're at a concert.
Mm-hmm. We're working on something very similar, actually. So it's funny. Yeah, give me a specific tech, and I'm definitely messing with it. So we're working on something. I can't say too much because it's still, we haven't figured out exactly the agreements on it. But we are going to give fans some pretty cool inside scoop stuff via technology, and it definitely will incorporate the live aspect. So
well,
that's definitely fun.
I'm not like a huge one in the apps and stuff, but I may have to download that. You guys are coming to town on the 30th here in Detroit, the day before Halloween. That should be kick-ass. I'm not even sure where you guys are playing right now, but Divisions comes out on September 13th, and that's going to be cool. And I'll tell you what, dude, if this all goes to hell in a handbasket, you could probably get a pretty good gig doing impersonating the Beatles. So you did a good job.
All right, then.
All right, Dustin. Well, listen, man, always great to talk to you. We'll wish you the best of luck with the new record and stuff. Can't wait to hear it in its full effect when it comes out next week. And good luck on the tour. Can't wait to check it out.
Thanks a lot, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You know, I've never met Justin in person. I've only talked to him over the phone, and it just seems like such a cool guy. I'd love to have like dinner with him or something, or some beers or whatever he drinks. So, anyways, what do you think of his Beatle impersonation?
I think it's good. I'm a sucker for a good impersonation.
Right. You were talking about Danny Carvey, and Danny Carvey does. Danny Carvey,
I heard him with Conan doing the Beatles, and the bit is Paul McCartney has to explain the modern world to John Lennon, who's been gone since the 80s.
Yeah, so for 40 years. Yeah.
Right. He's got to explain like iPhones to him and stuff. It's like, what are you talking about, the phones in your pocket and it has all your music on it? And it's like he does the impressions of both, and it's hysterical.
It is really good. Dana Carvey's awesome. One of my favorite movies from him is Trapped in Paradise, which is one of his biggest bombs. And I love that movie, and it was filmed,
dude, technically speaking, you could say that the Dana Carvey show was a bomb, but that show was hilarious.
Was that on TV?
It was I think it was on ABC, and it was a sketch comedy show, and it was so
remember
good.
That
Steve Carell was on the cast. Stephen Colbert was on the cast.
Really?
It was a good show.
Well, Trapped in Paradise was filmed in Niagara-on-the-Lake, which I really love. And that's about 20 minutes from Niagara Falls.
Okay.
And there's one scene in that movie, which is like hysterical, where they're robbing the bank, and then the guy who has the key to the bank is across street at the diner, and that's all I'm going to say about that, but it is hysterical. So Dustin, that new record, like I said, Divisions, comes out on September 13th, and that guy, you could tell he's pretty focused, and he's ready to go as far as this new record and tour and everything is concerned. So good luck to those guys. So Al Beck is here. He's got the rock news you can use or not, and we got a lot of things happening today. Of course, it's finally here after years and speculation and all sorts of stuff. We've got Tool, the new Tool record dropping, eh?
That's right. 2006 was the last time we heard a new album from Tool, and Tool did release Fear Inoculum. Today is the day. It is, as we are recording this, obviously, that is out. But they also released some tour dates, a 6-week tour starting here in November. And I did, of course, the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast is available through the B-Pod Studios at bpodstudios.com. But we're also found at WRF.com and Rock929Rocks.com. So I figured I'd look up the tour dates for Detroit and Boston. Detroit, of course, November 9th, Tool will be at Little Caesars Arena. And in Boston, November 14th at TD Garden.
All right, there you go. Get a plug in for the Beasley Media Group too.
That's right. Yeah.
Perfect. Excellent. Yeah, my Twitter feed has been filled up with all sorts of people talking about this new Tool record. So when I have a spare 3.5 hours, I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I have not heard anything other than the single that we've already got. So I'm actually going to be listening to that on my way home today.
So I purposely, and I've talked about this before, I purposely, obviously I'm listening to the single because I we play it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's other stuff out there that, we really don't play, and it's like, I'm not going to listen to it until I get the whole thing. It's like, that's just the way I am. I just want to hear it all. I don't want to hear just bits and pieces. So it's like, why would you go to a movie and watch a couple scenes?
Well, I have a similar theory with movie trailers. If I know I'm going to see a movie, like for sure, I don't watch a trailer because I don't want to ruin anything.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm not sold on a movie, I'll watch a trailer still. But if I know I'm going to the new Marvel movie, I won't watch the trailer. I don't want to see it.
Well, you know, when you're flipping through Netflix and the trailer automatically starts.
I hate that.
Well, sometimes I will watch it just to see, okay, maybe will this interest me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's different with music because we know what Tool is all about.
Right.
You know, I don't want to hear a trailer of Tool. I want to hear the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what this movie is all about because I've never seen it, you know, or whatever, or, you know, whatever the case
is. Well, it's the same thing. I mean, if I had never heard of Tool, then yeah, I would want to hear that single and kind of get the taste. But I know I want to listen to the new Tool album, so it's the same thing with my movie trailer thing.
Yeah. All right. So anyways, go ahead. Blink-182 and the Fire Fest we were just getting into. But you haven't seen that documentary yet?
I still haven't seen the documentary, no.
Dude, I don't know where you've been because that's a really good documentary.
I've heard nothing but good things.
It's a disaster, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, everyone has watched it and is talking about it, which is probably why I'm not watching it. Because I don't know. Because I'm an alien. Anyway, the Fire Festival, it's funny because you've been referring to Woodstock 50 as the new Fire Festival. But Fire Festival isn't even gone yet. We thought we'd heard the last of it, but now they are actually trying to sue Blink-182 along with a couple of other models that were paid their performance fee, and for Blink in particular, it was $500,000 that the Fire Festival wants to get back.
Well, you know what the big story about this is, and I was looking at this here today, you know, I don't know if people realize how much these bands get paid to play, but there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want Blink to come over and play your backyard party, you better cough up $500,000.
Yeah, so
there you go.
They're looking to get that money back now.
Yeah. The life of a rock star. Man, I'll tell you what. Dave Grohl, speaking of rock stars, I'm sure he's getting 500G, if not more, for each gig. But
it's got to be at least that much, probably more.
But he was playing over the weekend, and, you know, I don't mind this idea that much. So what was he talking about?
Yeah, there's a couple of Dave Grohl stories here. For one thing, at Reading, he had put out there, he wanted to get fans to sign a petition to bring back Oasis. As we know, the Gallagher brothers still... they don't get along at all. Noel Gallagher did respond. He does not seem to be keen on the idea. He did have a sense of humor about it, though. His response was really a joke. He said, well, maybe we should start a petition to break up the Foo Fighters instead.
That is classic Gallagher brothers.
Yeah, that's the Gallagher brothers. As long as I'm talking Dave Grohl, how about this? Dave Grohl did address the fact that remember there was that rumor that he was going to appear on the Queens of the Stone Age album?
Okay.
Well, I guess, you know, he was hanging out with Billy Gibbons. And Billy Gibbons had said something about Queens of the Stone Age, kind of getting together with them, and said that Dave Grohl was involved, too. And Dave Grohl said, no, me and Josh just sort of hang out. He says, we weren't recording anything. We were riding motorcycles and eating waffles.
That's really? What does Billy Gibbons have to do with Queens of the Stone Age?
No idea, but that's how the rumor got started. Billy Gibbons started this rumor that Dave Grohl was on the new Queens of the Stone
Age. Billy Gibbons, by the way, is one of the coolest guys on the planet. There's no question about it. One day I'll tell you my Billy Gibbons story. Gallagher, I interviewed Oasis came through the town about, it was over 20 years ago, like 1997, 98, something like that. And so I was doing afternoon drive and I got this last minute thing. This was like before I'd done like a lot of interviews and stuff, but they're like, hey, do you want to interview Noel Gallagher? Because he's going to be in town tomorrow or today or whatever it was. And I'm like, sure. So I'm doing afternoon drive. This is my big chance to like kind of get recognized, get known. You know, I'm going to throw every question at him I think that will annoy him or irritate him or piss him off just to see if he'll go off on me. And it's not like, you know, at that time in the late 90s, like, you know, they were comparing themselves to the Beatles and like all this stuff and the whole thing. I'll tell you what. That might be one of the best interviews I ever did. And he answered every question with a smile. And he was great, man. Yeah. I love talking to him.
And it's funny that you're trying to fish something out of him where you're like, yeah, I kind of want him to be a douche to me because that'll make good radio. It's like when I met, I think I told this on the podcast, when I met Scott Stapp. And I thought I wanted him to be a jerk.
He's because, a totally nice guy.
And he was a super nice guy, but he had just done something in the news that I was like, oh, he's going to be a dick to me and it's going to be great. And he was so nice.
Well, sometimes maybe when they do that kind of stuff, they're like, oh, I better be nice.
Better be nice. Don't kill the radio intern, because that's how long ago that was. I was an intern at the time.
So anyways, I interviewed Noel, and the interview was fantastic. But it's so funny, because I'm like, hey, you guys are, you know, the Screaming Trees are opening up for you, and I love the Screaming Trees, right? Mm. And we'll do some grunge stuff here coming up in just a second. But he goes, yeah, they're kind of a bit smelly, aren't they? I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but okay. I'll go along
all
with
right.
that.
Yeah, sure.
So
must be an English thing.
Yeah, he had some pretty funny things to say in that interview. I got to try to dig that up one day. Maybe I'll throw it in there as a classic Talking Rock.
That's what you should do. Dig out some of your classic interviews and do.
Yeah, I know. I've kind of done that in the past, but yeah, maybe I will. Yeah, whatever. I got to find it, like I said, first. Hey, moving on to Pink Floyd. They got some stuff coming out. You know, we talked with, what's his name there, the drummer Dave Mason, about a year ago or so. And, you know, hey, what's going on with Floyd? He's like, yeah, well, you know, Roger and, what's his nuts there? They don't really talk and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, they just rather do their own thing. You know, Roger and David Gilmour.
Yeah.
Nick Mason, by the way, is a David.
I do like writing credits on an album that says W Nuts. Like, wrote this song.
Yeah. So, anyways, what's going on with Floyd? They got nothing new coming out, but apparently they're going to keep repackaging what they have.
Exactly. Re-releasing the old, but... new-ish, I guess, or newer than some of their older stuff. What they're going to be doing is they're going to be actually celebrating the sans Roger Waters output with a new box set called The Later Years. So this is coming out in November. Later Years is going to have 16 discs, including the band's final three studio albums. It's also going to have some Blu-rays, including the set featuring a number of concerts, never-before-heard interview clips, all sorts of like unreleased tracks and all that stuff. So again, it'll be called The Later Years box set from Pink Floyd, due out on November 29th.
Okay. And finally, Disturbed, you emailed me this video.
Yeah.
This is pretty kick-ass, like I was kind of joking earlier. It's like, you know, we won't even have to go to concerts pretty soon.
Well, normally I wouldn't put something out like, oh, so-and-so band releases a video, but this is a pretty cool concept where we've seen 360 photos and videos on Facebook and stuff like that, where you can kind of drag your mouse across the photo and change the angle. Well, Disturbed releases an Inside the Fire live video, and it's shot in 360. So you can, as you're watching the video, kind of change your angle like you're turning your head. Look at David Draymond, maybe look over to the guitars, turn around and watch the crowd during the show.
No, it's really it's kick-ass. Maybe we should post a link to that in the description of the show today. But I'll tell you what. So Megadeth, when their Dystopia came out, they kind of if you got this app on your phone, and you could fit this app into this set of like goggles that they came with. Like this cardboard thing where you had to kind of make, and you put it on your head.
It's like a VR headset type of thing?
Yeah. And so it was so cool. And so you can watch one of the videos, and you can literally stand in the middle of the room and just move your body and look at other parts of the players, you know, other guys in the band and stuff. It was kick ass. And so I let my son try it, and he was doing it, and I tweeted it out to like to Dave David Mustaine.
Yeah.
Dave Mustaine. And he tweeted it back and everything. It was just really cool. So
yeah, I was just going to say that this 360 thing is really cool, but man, when you can get movies or concert films or whatever into a virtual reality setting, that could be like the next thing. I've got a VR headset for my PlayStation at home, and it's pretty mind-blowing.
Somehow that doesn't shock
me.
It
doesn't, no. Dude, I've got a Star Trek game. It puts me on the bridge
of a
ship. It's pretty awesome. I love it.
Of course you think it's awesome.
Hell yeah.
And, who's the guy who's not dating anyone right now? anyhow, not me.
Yeah.
So we just talked a little bit about like Screaming Trees and whatnot, and the grunge era. I love the Screaming Trees. They were great. You know, but this week on my blog at WRIF.com, I posted my Thursday top three picks. I'm going to try to do this every single Thursday. Mm-hmm. I've already got my next Thursday top three pick, you know, already thought about.
Okay,
so next week on my top three pick, I'm going to do Guilty Pleasure albums. And I've got a couple records that you might think to yourself, you would never listen to that. And I love these records, okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll tell you off the air. But did you see this week's top three list?
No, I did not.
Top three grunge bands. Okay, so I had a tie for third. I had Nirvana and Pearl Jam are kind of tied for third. I'm not a huge fan of either band. Nirvana wasn't around long enough. I mean, literally, they were only around for like 5 years. I mean, you know.
Sure, yeah.
And it's like so... And I like Nirvana. I got nothing against them. I mean, like On a Plane and some of these other songs that you don't hear all the time are killer, right?
Yeah.
Pearl Jam, you know, the first record, 10, awesome. Just turned 28, by the way. And But for me, it's like my second favorite was Soundgarden, because I mean, I just love Chris Cornell's vocals. I thought the heaviness of you know, the guitars, it just, the overall vibe of Soundgarden was just, you know, it was really cool. But my favorite is Alice in Chains. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that was my top three right there. So if you had to pick your top three grunge, what do you think?
Now, is it my favorite, or who do I think is the better band?
Well, I don't
musically
care.
Speaking.
Whatever you want.
Well, because, I mean, Nirvana's got to be number one for me as far as favorite goes. I think I've mentioned this before, that this is the band with whom I discovered my musical independence from
right.
my parents.
So, yeah, there was a certain time going on in your life. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was born in 86, so we're talking that's prime time for me. So,
and as much as you're wrong, I get it.
Yeah. But I would say Nirvana, Alice in Chains, and then Soundgarden. So, I very similar to your ranking, except I got to bump Nirvana up front.
Yeah, so if you get a chance, check that out. I've already got my thing. Like I said, I'll tell you off the air. Did I mention it?
Yes.
Guilty pleasure. Guilty pleasure. I'll tell you what they are.
All right.
We'll see how shocked you are. As I got back into vinyl, I discovered
Taylor
some
Swift.
Of these. No,
okay,
it's not
see
at
it
all.
On your...
Not even close.
That's not guilty. He's happy about that. He wears that like a badge of honor.
Exactly.
He's got that new album.
No, I don't. But anyhow... I'll tell you what my guilty pleasure records are. As a matter of fact, I got to go broadcast live here today, which is fine, but it's right by a record store, which I have to go to.
Oh, boy, yeah, okay. So I'll melt down spending some money today.
That's right. So anyways, give your socials.
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, at Meltdown WRIF. Hey, thanks so much for listening. If you get a chance and you're out there on your phone, your iPhone, like we were just talking about a little while ago, go to the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown page and give this a 5-star, especially if you've gotten this far in the podcast. It deserves a 5-star rating, I suppose, right? And I see some of you guys have been doing that, so I appreciate that. If you get a chance, I write a review as well. It's the least you can do for me, and I only expect the least, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
That's why, yeah.
that's
all Al does. He just gives me the least of everything. So, hey, go check out the new Starset record when it drops on September 13th called Divisions. And thanks so much for checking out Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.